From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. This is the Michigan Talk Network, and you can find us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And that is also where you can pick up our podcast. If you miss any of it here on our affiliates, we would love to have you on the podcast. Again, free all the time. Pick them up on iTunes as well. WildMichiganRadio.com, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan, a longtime sponsor of Wild Michigan. And now is time to freshen up your sights with Lucky Buck, especially after the rut and after the season. Their deer are going into their third trimester, the does are, and a little extra nutrients and never hurt. And of course, with antler growth being something that we all like to see come fall, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral is definitely it. And Darton Archery, one of our sponsors, as well as HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery sight technology, available for both systems, for both crossbow and compounds. So very happy to have them on board as well. We're going to be talking a little bit about fishing in a little while. But first, we're going to speak with Bill Kortenbrock from the Pheasants Forever chapter, number 467 of Ingham County. They are putting a couple of youth hunts together. Sunday, April 13th is one of them. Bill Kortenbrock joins us on the phone right now. Bill, how are you, sir?
Great. Great to talk to you, Durant.
You as well, man. It's been a while since I've seen you, but just got done with the Pheasants Forever chapter, Ingham County chapter, rather, the banquet on March 7th. Another huge success from what I understand.
It was, and it's absolutely amazing. We had a little over 700 of our closest friends there helping us support all our programs, and one of my favorites that you just mentioned is our youth hunts.
This is what I've always considered, and I've promoted my whole life, being a very fortunate recipient of a father that took my brother and I in the outdoors, taught us hunting safety, taught us firearm safety and proper use of a firearm. And look, there's no doubt we as parents are busier now than we have ever been. Time is a premium because we put so much time and effort into work to pay for everything. And getting kids outdoors is a bit more of a chore than it used to be because we have so many more distractions. But this is where this youth hunt comes in. And you guys have scheduled another couple of hunts for kids, and there's still some room available, correct?
Absolutely. And what we do as a chapter is we try and cover just about everything you just talked about, Duran. We run hunter education programs in partnership with the DNR. We put almost 50 kids through last weekend. We'll put probably another 50 through this weekend. And then after we get them through and do the hunter safety, we have hunts in the spring and the fall where we get kids out in the field. So those dates are March 29th, which is the Sunday, and April 11th. We do the hunts at Woodland Acres in St. John's. Jim Graham is our host. The kids, it's really strong emphasis on hunting ethics and hunting safety. So we put two boys or girls out with a very experienced dog handler in fields where we've planted birds for the kids. So these are real walk-up hunts. So they're working with the dog. They get to see, you know, the absolute fantastic wonder of watching a hunting dog, you know, working through a field. Huge emphasis on safety. All the kids that have gone through our program, and you know, I'm thinking we've probably over the past five or six years, Graham put a couple hundred kids through this program. They just love it, and the beauty is it gets them hooked. And you know, when I said we had 700 people at our banquet at the beginning of the month, the best part for me was seeing kids that had never hunted before, that had come to our youth hunts, that were there with their, in a couple of cases, their single parents, that never would have had the opportunity to hunt. But not only did they come to our youth hunt, now they're coming to our banquet, they're bringing their friends to our banquet, and we're getting kids outdoors. And what more could you ask for?
You know, that's just it. Getting kids outdoors, is, again, like I said, it's difficult, but yet probably the most rewarding thing ever. At a young age, I got my daughter out, got her shooting and shooting a bow. And, you know, I know looking back that I probably wasn't the best teacher for her, and I kind of burned her out a little bit. Now that she'll be 16 next month, you know, I'm going to try and reintroduce her to what I love so much, what my girlfriend Sarah loves so much now, is because Sarah never experienced the outdoors prior to meeting me. Now she's in a tree stand. She's in the field hunting. We're going to do some steelhead fishing this year, and she has taken it in completely. And now reintroducing my daughter is going to be my next task. One of the true success stories I've seen of father-son outdoors is you and your son, Will. Boy, you talk about a young man that has not only taken to the outdoors, but he has excelled in the outdoors as well. Tell us a little bit about what Will's been up to.
Well, I can't tell you how proud I am of him. Will, our chapter, sponsors him as a Michigan delegate to the National Youth Leadership Council, which is a group of kids that advise the Pheasants Forever Board on how to engage kids and get kids out into the woods. A great organization. Started that one, I think he was the youngest kid on the board. I think he started when he was like 11. So he's been doing this for years, and it's just absolutely amazing to see this group of young men and women go to the national meeting at Pheasants Forever and put on a large program teaching kids about the outdoors, teaching kids about habitat. They have shooting stations. They have fishing stations. It's just amazing what these kids do, and Will brought that home. And his most recent project was he built a footbridge up at the Muskrat Lake area for the DNR. So up at that facility, there's a creek that runs through there that kind of separates the game area. So the DNR said that people are having difficulty safely, you know, transitioning that creek. So as part of his Eagle Scout project and in cooperation with money that he got from QDMA and Pheasants Forever, he went out there and built a 35-foot pedestrian bridge to give hunters access to the land out there.
35 foot. So this isn't some 6-foot span going over a little piece of water. This is a 35-foot footbridge.
It's amazing. And this is designed by a high school kid, built by a high school kid, but I think you could probably drive a tank over it.
Speaking with Bill Kordenbrock of the Pheasants Forever Chapter 467, Ingham County, their website is pf467.org, and they have opportunities to get the kids out, to get them at a couple of youth hunts coming up. Also, other chapter things that they're involved with, hunter safety, something that is first and foremost for any hunter of any age before they get out into the woods and experience what we have here. But Bill, it's amazing to see what this chapter has accomplished. I didn't get a chance to go to the banquet last time on the 7th, but we did send a delegation of 10 folks out there, and they had a great time, won some great prizes, and again, the money going to a great organization that is a habitat organization, and of course, cultivating our young people and our people that have been in the sport for a while. So, again, man, that's pretty impressive stuff. And anything new coming for the chapter in the next couple of months?
Yeah, I'd like to use your platform as an opportunity to hopefully launch a couple new projects. One, you had mentioned, Will, one of his earlier projects, he had created a youth outreach trailer, which basically is a self-contained teaching unit, you know, that you can hook on the back of the truck, take out to a field, and run a youth day. We've added to that now. We have a shooting trailer, which is an enclosed air rifle range.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is reach out to your listeners, and if there's somebody in the area that has an idea for a youth event or wants some help putting a youth event together, we have all the equipment.
Okay, check him out.
We want to be able to reach out to kids.
All right.
Have them go to the Pheasants Forever website, which is pf467.org. Click on youth hunts. All my contact information is there. We want to do at least 2 youth events this summer that are beyond what we've done in the past.
All right, Bill Kordenbrock joining us here on Wild Michigan.
This is Owen O'Hagan of ClaireBirchley.ie inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, and I am still beside myself. Absolutely beside myself. The opportunity to travel to and to visit and to fish Ireland has been presented to myself and Sarah Marie of Team Wild Michigan, and we are headed off in May to County Clare, Ireland to fish. Again, cannot get my head around it. To fish for brown trout and for pike on Loch Derg in Ireland, and we'll do our show from there coming up in May. And thanks again to HHA Sports, single pin archery sight technology that is second to none. A big announcement coming from them in April, and we'll be talking to them. We're going to be putting some of their gear on our bows here, and you can find their links at wildmichiganradio.com to all of our sponsors as well. Mark Evans is joining me on the phone right now with Critters Be Gone, nuisance critter control. And Mark, there seems to have been, and this is going to shock a lot of people, except for people that listen to this show on a regular basis, because they're kind of in the know about the outdoors, but there's a bit of a coyote problem in Royal Oak. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good afternoon.
It's I'm not surprised there's coyotes in Oakland County or in Detroit or anything else. There's a great pheasant population in the center of Detroit that nobody seems to know of. You have a great habitat for them. The tall grass, the abandoned buildings. Look, pheasants are alive and really well in the middle of Detroit. So why are we shocked that there are coyotes in Royal Oak?
You're absolutely right. The reason for this call is basically just for education purposes. There is a lot of people that are unaware there's coyotes living anywhere near them, let alone their own backyards. This particular case in Royal Oak involved coyotes living and breeding in a nature area enclosed in a fence attached to a high school with a daycare across the street. The coyotes were coming out at night under the fence, jumping fences, into the neighbors' yards all day long. Neighbors afraid to let their dogs out, chasing their dogs in the house. We trapped one last week, and the death threats were incredible.
Death threats for taking care of a nuisance animal, an animal that that could walk off with little Tinkerbell, your Chihuahua or your cat or something of that nature, and I don't want to look, the threat of a coyote attacking a person, always possible, not very probable, but always possible, and that's the last point I'm going to make on that. But when you have a nuisance animal, okay, granted, we've encroached on their territory. I'm going to get all that liberal BS out of the way. But when you have dwellings by humans and you have these things within our area, they have to be controlled.
Yes, we encroached on their area, but the reason they are here is because there is no value in fur anymore. So when something does not have a value, nobody goes after it. A Michigan coyote right now is worth about $10 or $20. There is nobody that is going to seriously trap coyotes for $20. And when something doesn't have a value, nobody goes after it. You are dealing with the smartest animal on the planet. They can see, hear, smell everything. They control their birth rates based on their food supply. Well, guess what? They have all the food in the world in the city. People tie up dinner on a string for them, electric fences. The dogs and cats can't even get away. These coyotes are here to stay because they have no predators. There is nobody after them, and they love it here. It's just amazing the lack of education in the city.
You know, speaking with Mark Evans from Critters Be Gone Animal Control, Mark, look, when we saw the wolf vote come to the polls, Detroit, the Oakland County, that whole Wayne County, that whole area was just littered with people that wanted it taken away because they do not understand wildlife or anything of that nature. They don't come outside of their bubble. Okay, I mean, look, there's a lot of good folks in the area that hunt and fish, and they get it. But, you know, they all travel up the East Coast, up to the Thumb area, all the whole Lake Huron side, or they go over to the west side of the state or up north or wherever the case. But the majority of those people living in the cities don't get it. They just don't get it. And I've made this point time and time again, and it's preaching to the choir the whole time.
Right. The biggest thing was the video that we showed on Channel 7 and multiple stations and newspapers, all the way up to the UP, even Channel 6 had it on. We showed the coyote in the foothold trap, leg hole trap. And that stirred just unbelievable amount of phone calls to the city, to Channel 7. The poor thing was suffering. The poor thing, the inhumane way it was dispatched. The DNR told us last week, biologists included, if they ever found out that we trapped and released a coyote alive in the state, they would never give us another permit.
Sure.
They even scolded us for releasing one raccoon out of the three or four that we got while we were trying to trap the coyote. You know, people think you can go out there with a have-a-heart trap, and the coyote will just walk in there. You can wrap them up in a blanket, give them some hot soup, take them to the zoo, and let them go, okay? It's not happening.
No, I know. And again, sadly, Mark, a lot of our listeners here are not, you know, they're kind of laughing, too. They're laughing at the lack of education within these areas. Look, there are deer in our own area, in our Lansing area where I live in Meridian Township. Deer were looked at as, oh, the warm and fuzzies. You get that. All of a sudden, they're taking out thousands of dollars of groundwork of ornamental bushes and flowers, and they're eating them. They're making their arbor vitae look phallic, if you will, because of the eating patterns on these things. And all of a sudden, wow, it's a nuisance. Now they have a season within the season that allows people to hunt with a bow within that township. They have since ceased to become cute. And I'm trying to figure out when a coyote ceases to become cute to people that don't understand about predation and what could possibly happen with a predator like that.
Well, like you saw, they just finalized the investigation on the horses in the pier. And the DNR confirmed it was definitely coyotes that took down and killed that mounted police horse. Okay, so now you have a 30-pound animal. In this case, a pack of them, 6 to 10, I would say, that are able to take down a mounted police horse and kill it. And you don't think they can take down a human or a small child?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, they have, when they become rabid, they have no fear. And you'll see them during the daytime, and you'll see the patterns, how they lose that fear. They're smart. I don't think they have a sincere fear of us. They're just smart and know that, you know, we have our ways also. So
Right. They're one of the smartest animals on the planet, like I said. And the thing is, with the rabies, people think, yes, it's rare. Yeah, it's rare that a person gets bit. I mean, Colorado's had a lot of attacks, okay, because of the trapping regulations there, which there is hardly any of. But when your small child gets bit by that coyote, you're never going to catch that coyote again or be sure that it was the one that bit that child. That kid is getting rabies shots. All people think, well, you know, so many more kids get bit, you know, bit and attacked by domestic animals. Well, yes, they do. But when your dog next door bites your neighborhood kid, they check that dog out, and that kid doesn't get rabies shots. You know, you're dealing with something pretty painful.
No,
with a set of rabies shots. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, unless they get that animal, unless they catch the specific animal that was involved in that attack, there's no way to tell if it had rabies or not. You're going to get the shots, plain and simple. Just like having a bat in the house, and if you get swiped by that bat, it leaves a mark. Any contact with that bat, rabies shots, unless they can find the animal in question and know it's exactly it. But again, another interesting situation in Royal Oak, Wayne County, and Oakland County. I don't know, man. It makes me question a lot of things. But then again, we have smart people listening to the show. And if you disagree with what we're saying about the coyotes, you know, you think we should save them all and treat them like a neighborhood dog, You can email me direct, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Mark Evans, Critters Be Gone. Appreciate your call and appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Okay, buddy. Good to hear from you.
All right, man. You too. He's enjoying Florida right now, and I think he got sidetracked by the sunshine. Appreciate everybody joining us here. Nick Munt joining us. Also, Owen O'Hagan. The trip to County Clare is on, and I cannot be more excited. Thanks so much to Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com, HHA Sports, Darton Archery, Scentlock, all of our friends, Tricky Ricky Lures. Find them all on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and podcasts there as well here on the Michigan Talk Network.